But to answer, we have to go back in the book of Revelation to Revelation chapter number 6. And we'll be looking at three verses tonight, beginning in Revelation 6, verse 9, 10, and 11. The Word of God says in Revelation 6, verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Sounds like a strange place to come into Revelation, talk about heaven. But it answers a question tonight that we're going to dwell on for just a little bit. And next week we'll finalize that question plus two others that we'll conclude this series on. But we've been looking at this series and subject of longing for our heavenly home and these glimpses of heaven. We've covered a lot of ground in this study talking about heaven itself. But tonight we approach a very interesting question. And this question is really a two-part. We can't answer it all tonight, but we'll give you the question tonight. What is life like in heaven right now? And are our loved ones in heaven aware of us? Do they see what we're doing, good and bad? And do they remember us? That's quite a loaded question. And we come to Revelation 6 tonight to answer this tremendous question, to understand this biblical principle of what the present state of our loved ones in heaven is like. We must look ahead to the tribulation period. That's Revelation chapter 6, in the middle of the tribulation period and the opening of the seals of judgment upon earth and its inhabitants. We can learn a great deal about the present state in heaven for the three verses that we read in Revelation 6 during the tribulation period. So let's again read verse 9 of Revelation 6. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Talking about the martyrs during the tribulation period. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word of God, and that we can come to it with questions and that we can leave it with answers, knowing that you have a great truth for us and understanding tonight that we must begin looking at. I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to instruct us and teach us and illuminate the Scriptures to help us tonight to understand what the present state of our loved ones in heaven is like. We love you tonight, Lord, and we pray for all of our young people and leaders in the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forest tonight. Save the lost, Lord. Encourage those that are downtrodden, those that need to be stirred up, those that need to be convicted. Challenge them from the Word of God tonight that they might make decisions for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to these three verses in Revelation 6 during the latter part of the tribulation period. The fifth seal has been opened on judgment on the earth, and we see the martyrs that are there. Now, through these three verses during the tribulation period, we're going to try to answer a part of this question tonight. What is the present state of heaven like? Now, we have taught on this a few weeks ago that we will not have a body in heaven until after the rapture, until the rapture. So right now, our loved ones, they're in spirit and soul, are in heaven. Bodies in the grave. So tonight, as we look at these three verses, getting an understanding of what it's like in heaven right now for our loved ones, we have several observations that we can make from this passage. When these individuals, these martyrs, died for the Word of God on earth, they were relocated in heaven. That's verse 9. When they died, where they were killed, for slain, it says in the Word of God, for the Word of God, they were in heaven now. So these individuals in heaven were the same ones that were martyred. They're not a different individual. They don't become someone else. They don't lose that identity. They still have their identity. They were the ones that were martyred on earth. This demonstrates direct continuity between our identity on earth and our identity in heaven. We're not a different person. Yes, we're given a new name, but we're still known by our old name as well. The martyr's personal history extends directly to their lives on earth. Those in the present heaven are not different people. They're still our loved ones. If I could look through the portals of heaven today, I would see my Father. He is there on the other side, and He is there waiting for us. Same with your loved ones. They are there. They have relocated from this earth to heaven if they have known and accepted Christ as their Savior. So their personal history, these martyrs are linked to their earthly lives. They're the same people. They're just in a new location. They're in their heavenly home. If you would, hold your place in Revelation. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we see in verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, going with the same idea about our earthly life and our identity is the same as our heavenly identity. Notice verse 22 of Hebrews 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and we've talked about the heavenly Jerusalem in this study, and to be an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits, notice this latter part of verse 23, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So their identity is linked to their earthly identity here in Hebrews chapter 12. Citizens of heaven will be remembered for their lives on earth. You're like, well, I thought all that was gone. Not yet. Not yet. These were known and identified as ones slain. They were known for what occurred on the earth. They were known that they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony for which they held. So today, this is in the tribulation period in Revelation. But today, we are not at the tribulation period. So they are known, our loved ones, our friends, our families that know Jesus as their Savior, they're in heaven today in spirit and soul. They are known for their lives on earth today. Verse 10 in Revelation 6 says, and they cried. They cried. It means they are able to express themselves audibly. This could suggest they exist in a physical form, which they will at that time. The rapture would have already been happened at this time. So we have a physical form at the Revelation 6, and they have vocal cords and other tangible means to express themselves. So they cried with a loud voice. So today, those in heaven today are in spirit and soul, not yet with their new glorified body, and not until the rapture. But as we looked at last week, we will be able to express joy and praise when we first see our Savior in spirit and soul form. Somehow, if it's vocally, if it's, I don't know, the Bible doesn't teach us, but somehow when we first see Jesus in a spirit and soul form, we will be able to express joy and gratitude and thanksgiving and praise. No, the fifth observation we can make about heaven in these three verses is they called out with not just a voice, but a loud voice. But notice it's not plural. Now, there's martyrs. Verse 9 tells us it's more than one. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls, plural, of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, plural again. But notice their voice in verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice. Now, voices, what does this teach us? individuals speaking here in heaven. They're speaking in unity together, crying out to God with one voice, asking for God's justice and God's judgment on those that verse 11 teaches us about. Verse 10. And the martyrs are fully conscious. These martyrs are fully conscious, rational, and aware of each other. They're aware of God. And notice again in verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" They are not only aware of each other and aware of God, they are aware of what's going on earth. During the tribulation period, they're aware, and that their loved, their enemies, those that slain them for the word of God, are have not faced judgment yet. They're still loose. We think about this is tribulation period, and prior to the tribulation period, our loved ones in heaven will also realize and understand what is going on earth today. We'll answer that next week in full. But just to give you a glimpse and understanding, they do see what's going on. Again, they don't have a body, but somehow we have a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, Hebrews teaches us. So they do see what's going on earth, and they want us to excel for God. They ask these martyrs, they ask God to intervene on their behalf on earth. So that means those in heaven can ask God questions. That means those in heaven don't have a full, complete understanding at this time. They don't know the answer. They don't know when God's going to judge their enemies. They have an audience with God. They can approach God. And it means they desire understanding and they pursue it. Again, tribulation period, but today, prior to the tribulation, same thing. The same principle can be applied. Even though we don't have a physical body in heaven yet, there is ability to ask God, to approach God, to have an audience with God. There's ability to ask questions of God, to seek God's intervention for others. Part of the question we'll answer next week, do our loved ones today pray for us in heaven? Quite a study. We'll get to that next week. The martyrs in heaven in Revelation 6 know enough in heaven to realize who killed them and that they have not yet been judged. This shows their awareness of things on earth. Again, we're talking about a future event that hasn't happened, so today our loved ones do and are aware of what's going on this planet today and in our lives today. As Johnny prayed, we have a God that doesn't change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So a biblical principle like this is not going to change. God is not going to change what happens during the tribulation period with our loved ones versus what's happening today. Citizens of heaven have a deep concern for justice. They don't have a passive disinterest on what happens on earth. I'm in heaven. I don't care what's going on earth today. I don't care about all those that I've left behind. No, they are distinctly passionate about what's going on earth. And they desire God to intervene and to judge sin and Satan and their enemies. The martyrs teach us here in Revelation 6 that they remember their lives on earth. They can even remember what happened to them. Now one day that's going to all be wiped away. At the judgment seat of Christ, it'll all be wiped away. The tears will be wiped away. Those past memories will be wiped away. If you think about it, how could we enjoy the glories of heaven for all of eternity and know our loved one or two or three didn't accept Christ and they're not there, meaning they're in hell tonight? How could we enjoy heaven knowing that? God's going to wipe away at the judgment seat of Christ all tears, all pain, all suffering. We saw that last week. But He's also going to wipe away those memories. But right now, in Revelation 6, they still have those memories. Right now, tonight in heaven, they still have those memories. The martyrs are in heaven tonight, or in Revelation 6, they're in heaven praying for judgment on their persecutors who are still pursuing others. They are, in effect, interceding. Oh, notice that. Citizens of heaven are interceding or praying on the behalf of those on earth. The martyrs are seen as individuals, not as a collect group. Notice verse 11. We've seen in verse 9 that's plural, they're multiple. Verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, the martyrs. Each one, not collectively, they got one robe. All of them individually got one robe. So these citizens of heaven, these martyrs, are looked upon as individuals. They are distinct individuals in God's eyes. The martyrs wearing these white robes suggest the possibility of actual physical forms. Again, before the rapture, there is no physical form in heaven, the spirit and soul. But now at Revelation 6, their tribulation period, rapture has already happened. So our glorified body is there with our spirit and soul. So we have a physical form and we can wear that white robe. And John could actually see in the vision their form. So they had a physical form. They just weren't a spirit. In verse 11, God answers their question. In verse 10, they say, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And God answers their question in verse 11, indicating communication and process in heaven. It also demonstrates that we will not know everything in heaven at this point. If we did, we would have no questions. But the martyrs knew more after God answered their question than He did before He answered it. So there's learning in heaven at this point. And tonight, there's learning in heaven. You know, I've often heard and been guilty myself of saying, when I get to heaven, I'll know who shot JFK. I'll know the conspiracy theory, and yeah, we figured out who shot JR. But we're going to find out, and when we get to heaven, who shot John F. Kennedy. That's not going to matter. Yeah, it matters here on earth. It matters to the Kennedy family, to the Nassus family. It matters, but when we get to heaven, we're at the judgment seat of Christ, and tears are wiped away, the pain and the suffering, the heartbreak, the heartache, the missed opportunities, that's wiped away, and the memories will be wiped away. That will not be pertinent. We won't know. It won't matter. We will not become gods. Let me say that again. When we get a glorified body, we will not know everything God knows. We will not become gods. I hope that you understand that, because there's some false religions out there that teach that. We will not become gods. God promises to fulfill the martyr's request. But it's interesting how He does that. He says they'll have to wait a little bit longer. Notice verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and He said unto them, they should rest yet for a little season. Basically, you're going to have to wait just a little bit. It's not time. Oh, wait a minute, there's no time in heaven. Well, there must be time because God's telling them to wait at this point. He's telling them to wait. You imagine our loved ones that are like, Jesus, when are you going to get our families? When are you going to go get the church? When are you going to bring them to heaven? Because we can ask God and questions in heaven tonight. So our loved ones are there asking God and communicating with God and have an audience with God. And they're like, God, when are you going? Get them out of this horrible world. We could see the same answer given to our loved ones. Just a little season, you'll have to wait just a little bit longer. I'm wanting for all these others to come to know Jesus. All those that arise that are saved tonight, praise the Lord. God is long-suffering. Are you glad He waited for you to get in? You glad He didn't end it the day before you got in and say, oh, that's it, we got the full list, don't need any more? No, I'm glad He waited for me. He chased me. Well, tonight we have loved ones that we're still praying for. And we want God to be long-suffering towards them as well. We have unknown individuals tonight that we don't even know that God is long-suffering towards, that He's sending the gospel to them that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior. Don't rush God. He has a plan. He is eternal, but He has a timetable. So these martyrs ask God a time-dependent question. How long? In verse 10. They are aware of times passing in heaven at this point and are eager for the coming day of the Lord's judgment on wickedness. God answers them with that. They should rest yet for a little season. Waiting requires the passing of time. I don't understand all that. But God said it. So somehow, in Revelation 6 and verse 11, there's time in heaven. Again, this is a tribulation period. And then the last observation we can make from Revelation 6 in these three verses is our God knows down to the last detail all that has happened and all that is happening and all that's going to happen on earth. Nothing surprises God. He knows the name and story of each and every one that will be martyred, and He is prepared to return and set up His kingdom when the final individual is saved. So we've made these observations on only three verses in the Bible. These observations were made during a time called the tribulation period and on earth, and this is after the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the dead in Christ prior. If these observations are accurate and can be applied to a future period of time in heaven, then I believe we can apply these truths to the present state of heaven of our loved ones tonight. So I quickly will try to answer another part of a question here tonight. Do heaven's inhabitants remember life on earth? I think we've seen that. As we've seen, the martyrs depicted in Revelation 6 clearly remember at least some of what happened on earth. Again, this is before the judgment seat of Christ. If they remember their martyrdom, there's no reason to assume they would not remember their earthly lives and their loved ones. In fact, we will all likely remember much more in heaven than we do on earth, and we'll probably be able to see how God and the angels intervened on our behalf so many times. After we die, we will give an account of our lives on earth, including specific actions, thoughts, and words. In 2 Corinthians, well, they are working. These aren't working, so I didn't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We have this verse, I believe, on the screens. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, that's individually, may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we will be remembered for what we have done on earth. at the judgment. Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." That's a scary thought. Additionally, our specific acts of faithfulness, not just the bad, but the good, our specific acts of faithfulness done on earth will follow us to heaven. Revelation 14:13 says, in Revelation 14:13, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." Notice those words, "and their works do follow them." Those are the good works, the faithful works, those that have survived the judgment of Christ. If we've done them in vain, or if we've done them for God's glory, if we've done them in our strength, or we've done it in God's strength. If we've done it in God's wisdom or in our wisdom. God keeps accurate records of what we do on earth, both the unbeliever and the believer. For believers, at least until the judgment seat of Christ, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 5:10, then they will be judged, be rewarded, or burned up, and then the tears wiped away and the memories wiped away. But for the unbelievers, their works will follow them all the way to the great white throne judgment. In Revelation 20, verse 11 through 13, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Those accounts were open. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." These are the unbelievers. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." And the first work is unbelief while they're at the white, great white throne judgment. So for those tonight in heaven, those records and memories of life on earth still exist. Memory is a basic element of personality and individualism. If we are truly ourselves in heaven, there must be a continuance of our memory in heaven. We will not be different people, but the same individual, marvelously relocated and transformed. In heaven, we will be cleansed and made new, but it will not extinguish or erase our history. We will remember God's works of grace in our lives and those times of comfort and assurance and preservation and empowerment that He supplied for us in this life. So yes, we will be individuals in heaven that have memories up until a point of our past life on earth. We will communicate with God and have an audience with God. We will have a voice. We will be able to cry out for justice. We will understand what's going on in this earth. So next week we'll conclude our study of this heaven longing for home. And we'll answer the final questions that have been submitted, including, do people in heaven today see what we do on earth, good and bad? Do people in heaven pray for those on earth? Are people in heaven aware of sinful things on earth? And do the angels, Miss Joy's been waiting for this one, do the angels sing in heaven, and will we sing with them? A lot to answer next week. I pray you'll be here and allow the Lord to teach us again through the book of Revelation. God bless you for being here tonight. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray tonight as we close. If you'd like a list of the attendees to pray over tonight and tomorrow and Friday, I have some more up here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, mercy, and grace. A lot to absorb of what's in heaven tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take away from tonight just to be in praise of you, to be thankful and grateful for you, and to know that you have a plan and that you are working that plan in your timing, not ours. And that you would help us tonight if we have loved ones and those that we care about that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to take them the good news and to share with them the love of Christ. Not to beat them over the brow, but to share the love of Christ with them in a loving, compassionate way. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our young people's lives tonight, that you would save those that need to come to you and help others to make decisions for you tonight and tomorrow. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.